not used to it being dark on this side. So if you all go to sleep, I'll know. I'll have to keep focus over on that side there. Yeah, if it doesn't flicker, we're okay. If that does, we're back into shape. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to give you some of my thoughts today. And again, the title of this message is From Blindness to Light. From Blindness to Light. And we're going to read the entire chapter today of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's 18 verses. But I want to think about this from the aspect of how do I fix the problems of America? How many of you have ever done that? How many of you, I mean, it's inevitable that we hear all the things that's going on and we think, well, how do I fix that? How do I fix this? How do I fix the other problems? We can point fingers, we can do whatever we want. But what I'm going to give you as a remedy, I think, is going to be a little bit more of a challenge. In verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in heaven vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. I said the heaven vessels, but there should be earthen vessels. In verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I know it sounds like that this is a tremendous passage of Scripture, and a lot of things that we read in it kind of gives us this kind of story, that kind of story. But the reality is here's where I began to think about a little bit of what was going on. I thought of the Apostle Paul, and how often I wish that I could sit down at his feet and enjoy his message. Maybe I would be like Eutychus. Now, for those of you that don't know who Eutychus is, I remember this, that you would probably fall out of the window and cuss too if you fell out and broke your neck. Eutychus. But Eutychus had been all night with Paul, and he fell asleep sitting in a window, fell out of that window, and broke his neck. Paul healed him, and of course we know Eutychus continued on in the things of God. But the reality is that when we think about, man, someone like Paul, we don't even know how he presented the Word of God. All we have is his writings. Did he speak normally? Could he speak in such a way that there was an excitement in his voice? I don't know anything about the Apostle Paul except that the zeal of God was ever present in this man. And he wanted to converse. The letters that we have, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the Romans, the Galatians, the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and so on and so forth. All of those things were written so that we could sit down and enjoy them together. Now, we just read all of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, I want you to know this. If we ever get to a place where the Word of God is being read and we don't enjoy it, we've got a problem. We've got a real problem. I enjoyed having all of Psalms 106 read to us today. How many of you realize that there was a rehearsing of everything that the children of Israel did unto the things of God, how his mercies were extended, his grace was given, and over and abundantly we can see how that Israel was taken, how that they were restored, how they were blessed, how they were, so on and so forth. The reality is that everything we see here in 2 Corinthians is as though Paul is writing to us even now for our understanding. And so as we go into this passage of Scripture, I want us to think about what it means to go from light, from blindness to light, and to have these things for us today. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I want to thank you for the moment that we have together. And I pray that, Father, that everything that is written from your word might have an insight and an impact upon me today. Help me, Father, to walk in faithfulness. Help me to be the man of God that I should be. Help me to understand what it means that you are the Lord of my life. Help me, Father, to walk in faithfulness to you. Help me in every way and every day to be the man of God that I should be so that I can lead this congregation as you would see fit, not as I want. Lord, let me step down. Let you be on the increase. Let me be on the decrease. Let me show others the things of Christ in a very real way. And Lord, we can make a difference. And this world which we live in, I see it everywhere about me, how that there is no difference being made. And yet, Father, you can bring the difference. And help us, dear Father, to understand the things that are given. May we rejoice in you, guide and bless and watch over us in all things, for it's in Christ we preciously pray. Amen. I go back this week, I think it was on Monday, when one of the young ladies wanted to make sure that I heard this, that I work with, and she can't be 18 years of age, and she goes, "Guess what?" Now, as soon as she said, "Guess what?" my mind went to everything under the sun. You know, what is the guess? And she could not wait to tell me, "I got saved this week. I got saved this past Sunday." And instead of rejoicing the way that I should have at that very moment, I had to let this sink in. Now, what is sad about that, and I say this clearly, and I went later to her and I said, I had everything under my mind, but and I wasn't ready for that news, but I am rejoicing with you. And do you know that even heaven gives the declaration of rejoicing as well, because one soul is saved. One soul. Now, imagine how much rejoicing there must be going on into heaven as soul after soul after soul is being saved. But how oftentimes we forget the joy that should be in us. Now here's the reality. I get every Sunday, I get an opportunity to stand before the congregation and present the Word of God. And sometimes it's a great presentation, sometimes it's not so good. I mean, it's exciting to me when people say, "Man, I got something out of the message." It really bothers me when somebody runs out the door and they don't say a word. And then I'm wondering, did they really get anything out of the message? The reality, and you know what I'm talking about, Randy. And the reality is that God, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but I'm looking for Christ. Christ to be lifted up. Now, it was interesting, as I sat there listening to the music and singing along with it today, I was thinking back to the time of the early Americas, when we now know about King Philip's War, which was an American Indian that stood up and went against the newfound cities, or the newfound places, the newfound churches, and how that once the places that had worshipped the Lord God with strength and capability were now these same places that were allowing almost anything and everything to happen. But one church stood out in the wilderness. One church stood out. And as the Indians got ready to attack this church, the chief said, "Oh, no, we're not going to attack that church. We're going to leave that church alone." Why? I don't see anything. Can't you see the army that is gathered around it? Can't you see that we're going to be destroyed if we attack that church? Now, what made that church so different? That reason that church was so different was they were praying earnestly, not just standing up and praying. They were literally pouring their hearts out to God. The reality is that I get to stand up and preach the Word of God, but what kind of impact am I making? You know, some of the best services that I've ever had, I remember one time that I was preaching down in Burnside, Kentucky, you know, at Main Street Missionary Baptist Church. And it was a Sunday school hour, and I had already prepared my notes, and I was ready to go. And the next thing I know, people began to ask questions. Anyone who's been in those services? It was more of informal, but they began to ask questions. Questions that were easily to understand when it comes from the Word of God, but they had not settled it in themselves. And I rejoiced because that was one of the best services. I can't even tell you what the first question was. But I remember thinking, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is allowing these answers to occur. And there were times that I could not answer the question to their satisfaction, but someone else could. Now, when we begin to understand the power of the message as we see it, all of us have a little bit of right in us, but that's because sin prevents us from enjoying the fullness of light. Now, it's interesting that this chapter begins with the word therefore. Now, what's interesting is that when we see the word therefore, we're supposed to go back and find out what therefore is there for. The reality is, when we go back, we see that in verse 13 it says of chapter 3, "And not as Moses, which put on a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of the, which is abolished, but their minds were blinded." Now this is what we're talking about. We are seeing a world that is blinded. And here in chapter 4 is the remedy to blindness. Now, do you realize Satan loves to put on these little fires? And we're out there and we're stamping these fires out. We're doing everything we can to get this fire out. And then we run over here and we stamp out this fire. And then we go over here and we stamp out this fire. And the whole time that we are stamping out those fires, we are not doing what God would have for us to do. The reality is that the people that Moses helped deliver out of Egypt by the grace of God, by his hand, by his powerful hand, wanted nothing more to do with God than to be delivered. I think it was appropriate that Psalms 106 fell in line with the message today. And the reason is, what did they want? Jehovah. I mean, they were excited to see the destruction of the enemy. But pretty soon, they were walking through and they went, oh. If you will take that tree and you'll cast it in the waters will become sweet, you're going to live. Do you realize that over and again, and this is what Job read, there was a deliverance of God? He gave them quail. He gave them manna. He gave them everything that they possibly wanted. But then when they could not go into the land of promise because of their unbelief, then rose up three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And what did they say? Oh! Starting these little fires, but there's one remedy, and that remedy is the light that is in us. Now think about that for a moment. Is global warming the problem? It's not the problem. Satan wants us to concentrate on global warming. He doesn't want us to concentrate on the soul that is getting ready to perish. Is the earth flat? Hardly. But, you know, how can we expect the people who do not read the Bible to expect them to understand that the world is round, a globe that hangs out in the space? How do we expect that if they don't read the Bible? The more that we begin to see, we find all these things that can easily be argued when we're focused in the wrong direction. I love what one preacher said. This one person came up to him and said, "You know how many mistakes you made, preacher?" He said, "Probably a lot." He said, "What did you learn?" He said, "Well, I learned that you don't know anything." He goes, "Well, I've got a question for you. When you finish my sermon, what's next?" He goes, "Well, I guess I'll just go home and I won't be back." He said, "That's fine." He said, "Then after that?" And the man said, "Well, I guess my wife and I will eat dinner." And he goes, "And after that?" And he kept going, "After that, after that, after that, after that, after that." And finally the man said, "Well, I get..." You know, here's reality. I watch all... does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are... Therefore, look what else it says. Seeing we have this ministry, and I wrote some things down. I have a ministry. Praise God, I get to pastor a church that loves the things of God as well. But do you realize that I need to have more in my ministry? Look what else it says, and follow with me if you will. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now that, there's a lot in that verse. Look what it says again in that verse. We have not renounced dishonesty. Do you realize that everybody that walks with me, everybody that knows me, whether I work day by day or even in this church, they are looking to see if there's a true honesty in me. Do they see a craftiness in me? By the way, craftiness is also a representation of what Satan does. That's scary, isn't it? How many of us have ever thought that Christians can be crafty? I saw something the other day, and it was posted about what is real and what's not. What was the most important thing to the apostles after they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that was to preach the Word of God. Do you realize that when Peter and John went to the temple, what was it that they said? Were they upset because they didn't have more money? Were they upset because they didn't have earthly riches? Their statement was, silver and gold have I none, but I can change your life because I can tell you about Christ. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Take up thy bed and walk. They did not ask for attention. They did not ask that anything else would occur, but they came to one man, and in the privacy, this man did not get up and he started walking his little legs like this. I believe he got up and he started running. Now that's me. You know, that's my own particular opinion. That he got up, he was excited, and he said, look! He gave praise to God. That is the difference. Look what else it says. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What does that mean? When we are not going to be deceitful, we got to be honest with the things of God. And honest with the things of God means that I want to make sure that everything that I teach is right. Now, you know, one of the hard parts is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation demands that I don't focus upon the deceitfulness of the book of Revelation, but that I really preach on the fullness of the book of Revelation. And that is sometimes very difficult to do. Because the reality of all things that we see from the Word of God is how that we take the Word of God very carefully in our hands, and we don't try to make it something that it is not. You know, one of the things that gets me is even the Apostle John marveled, as we just read in John chapter 7 or Revelation chapter 17, he goes, that's the harlot? You mean Jesus Christ and the preaching of the word is not going to cause a revolutionary change in this world? No, the harlot is still going to live. Why? Because that is the plan of God. How many of us realize that everything that's going on today is part of the plan of God? We don't like to think of it that way. We're like to turn around and say, well, do it. Look what else it says. But by manifestation of truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have a responsibility to let everyone know that we come in contact with that this is the plan of God. And that we need to adhere to the plan of God ourselves. Look what else it says. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, isn't that amazing? I cannot make you see your need of Christ. Now come on, let's think about this. We think that it is how much of our example that we can make others see Christ. It has nothing to do with that. It is the power of saying, I preach to you the gospel. The Holy Spirit will take the message and open the eyes of the blind. I cannot touch the eyes of the blind and make them see. Do you remember in John chapter 9 where the man who was blind, who was born blind, said, why, herein is a marvelous thing, and never has a man been blind. But do you realize that at the moment that Jesus Christ revealed himself to those individuals, he opened the eyes of the blind and caused them to see. Isn't that amazing? Do you realize the preaching of the gospel is to the world foolishness, but is the only way of salvation? Look what else it says in verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now I've thought about that. Man, I have focused on the mindset of the world. Well, you guys can't be that great because look how small you are. Do you realize that outside of the Jerusalem church, probably all the churches that Paul started were one family, two families strong at the most? It isn't the number of people that had a big band and had a lot of music, things like that. Let me just tell you something. The truth of the matter is, but how much we can take the Word of God and present it. And that's what we have to do. Present the Word of God. Now, here's the thing that's sad. The world has already been taught one way, and we have to open up their understanding to accept the things that are true from God's Word. Now, I tell people this all the time. Don't think that I'm going to present to you the things that are written as much as the things that are true and written. Now, think about that for a moment. People, a lot of times, and what's the biggest question we have? What Bible do I use? I'm not ashamed that I use the King James because I've researched it. And the more that I study it, the more I realize this is the book that I should preach from. But even more so, think about this. When I preach the Word of God, I don't go back and say, no, it would be better said, it would be better quoted, it would be better written. No. I preach it for what it says. Because it can't be better. Think about that. It can't be better. And I want you to see what it says. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. I could tell you all the great things that I've done, which would matter and which would last in about a thimbleful. But when I preach of Christ, you know, one of the things I remember this is that youth camp, I always go back to youth camps because I enjoyed them so much. One of the last youth camps I got to involve with, I had gotten down, I mean, I was skinnier, I was better, I could run with the best of them, I mean, I could really do it. I mean, I felt great. And I got prepared for the basketball game. I love that good basketball. And I thought, man, these young kids haven't seen anything yet. In the last moment, someone came up and said, Pastor, there's a girl that has a doubt about her salvation. Now, you know what? I could have stopped it. I could have said, well, you know, after the game, I'll talk to her. No, she had that question right then and there. And how many times do the things of this world take precedence, come on, over the things of God? Greg and I were talking the other day about, he's got this parcel of land in front of his house. And he said, we've had more joy in that little parcel because people sometimes will stop and we'll get to talking. One of the guys that delivered the hay the other day made the statement. He said, I renewed my life to Christ. And they rejoiced. But do you know what? We see so very little of that because we prioritize ourselves over the things of God. Well, that young lady needed to know that the priority that I was going to show her was that Christ is alive. And as I began to show her a little bit more about the things of God, I asked her this question, who is your Lord? Who is your God? Who is your Savior? And she said, Jesus Christ. I said, then why did you ask me to make sure that you understood the priority? You know what really hurts our world today? People want to take Jesus and they want to let him go. They want to take Jesus and let him go. But let me ask you this. What sins did Jesus die for on the cross of Calvary? Just the past sins? Just the present sins? All of our sins. And when she understood that Christ died for all of our sins, she became aware that no matter what happens in this life, Christ is all in all. Let's continue on. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That is such wonderful news. Think about this for a moment. I preach the gospel, and if there's any power that comes from the message, it comes from God, not me. Now, I look around and I see so many people that they're going is, well, you know, you ought to be able to do this, you ought to be able to do that. Really? Says who? If I truly understand the power of God, then it's understandable that it will be delivered by God. But that means that myself as a man, I need to humble myself before God. That means every day I need to wake up and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to deliver in this message? Lord, help me in my studies. Help me in my devotions. Help me even to pray that I might be the man of God that you would have for me to be. Because I don't know what's out there. I read the Apostle Paul, and I'm amazed at this man. Do you realize that Paul, even in his statement, began to speak about all the things that happened to him? Listen, take a look at it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we begin to see a little bit more about the Apostle Paul's life. And he writes all these things so that we might understand. Go down to verse 21, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And notice how much that he endured for Christ. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, not within ourselves any bold, Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are there any Hebrews? So am I. Are there any Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Guess what? So far he's pretty good, isn't he? Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Did you read that? The Jews would capture him and have him beaten if they didn't whip him themselves 5 different times. Thrice was I beaten with rods, and once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day I have been in the deeps. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I not burn not? If I must needs glory, I want you to get this verse. If I must needs glory, I will glory at the things which concern my affirmities, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. Now, I've not suffered any of these things. My life has been relatively at ease. I look back on my life and I see the sins that I have committed and I've received forgiveness. But I wonder how many times people like to elevate themselves above all measure. Let me just tell you this. If there's anything that we can deliver, it is a pure message that says, I am a vessel of Christ. I am a messenger of Christ. How many of us say that we want revival? Come on, think about it. But what is revival? Is revival not temporary? Is revival not something that comes in quickly and leaves just as quickly? Last year or 2 years ago, we had Asbury College, and everybody was excited because of everything that happened at Asbury. Is that continuing? Before that was a church in North Carolina, and there was a great uprising, and there was a great joy that God was given victory. But was there a continual revival? You know, here's the thing. Do we want revival, or do we want something sustained? I read about Joshua, and this is sustaining. Joshua understood. I want you to look at this. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. And look what it says in Joshua chapter 24, and let's go down to verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, put away the things that keep you from serving God. Now, Joshua chapter 24, let's go down and finish up verse 14. Which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. In other words, get rid of all the things that keep you from serving God. What is it that is keeping you from serving God? But look what he says in verse 15. And I love this verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. How many of you all think that it's evil to serve God? Now, here in the confines of this church, it doesn't seem evil, does it? But if I really want to serve God, there's got to be truth in it. I don't want the gods of this world. I want there to be honesty. I don't want there to be craftiness. I don't want there to be deceitful handling of the word. I want it to be honest. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the little gods, the little g, did you notice that? Which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, in other words, back in Egypt. Or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. And I love this passage. But I've made a determination. As for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's the thing. I look at this congregation, and I cannot make not one person serve God. Do you realize that? I can't make anyone serve God. I cannot make anyone be faithful. I can't make anything happen other than preach the Word of God in its entirety. Now, I've had people say, oh, well, then you're saying that I shouldn't take a vacation. No, go enjoy a vacation. Man, I'll go with you. I'll enjoy that vacation with you. But let's come back and let's not take a leave of God. Let's let it be exciting. Look what else it says. In verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, For we which live are always delivered unto death. Now, how many of us have ever thought that there is a constant protection of God's people by God? We walk in the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say we walk by death. But if we knew how many times Satan wanted to kill us, it would scare us to death. Am I right? But think about this. God protects us. Even to grace. Think about this. Paul should have died, and many people believe that he died when he was stoned to death. But God wasn't done with him yet. I tell people this all the time. I am invincible. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to go lay out here in the middle of the road and say, see, cars won't hit me. No, there'll be some idiot out there that's going to try to run over me. But the reality is, I'm invincible till Christ is done with me. But till that occurs, I should live for Christ. I'm delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake. Now, how many of us have sung the song, I Have Decided? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When you are committed, then all these little fires that we see around us don't make a hill of beans. Someone tried to get me the other day to talk about global warming. I went, Christ will be back before that occurs. I had someone try to ask me about flat earth, and they were mocking me and this and the other. I went, well, when Christ returns, we're going to find out who's right and who's wrong. And every time that I point back to Christ, it makes them mad. But guess what? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? In our mortal flesh. So today, I delivered something that I hope that every one of us can grasp. Oh, I could go more into this message. But if we take just the things that we enjoyed and understand the things that God has given, how powerful it may truly be. In a moment, we'll sing that song. And so, Brother Randy, I'm going to ask you to get ready for that. But may we be ready and prepared to walk by faith. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, again, guide us and watch over us. Help us to be faithful unto you. Lord, take this message as you see fit and guide and direct. In Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Randy.